We'll call this meeting of the Palmer City Council to order on August 26, 2014, 7 p.m. Madam Clerk, can you call the roll?
Councilmember Best?
Here.
Councilmember Combs?
Here.
Councilmember DeVries?
Here.
Councilmember Erby?
Here.
Councilmember Hanson?
Here.
Mayor Johnson is having a medical procedure and will not be here this evening. Deputy Mayor Carrington?
Here.
There's a quorum.
So do we want to declare absences excused or unexcused for the mayor? Excuse? Okay. Let the record so state. Okay. And Mrs. Combs, could you lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we have approval of the agenda, which includes the consent agenda.
So moved.
And the minutes, okay.
Second.
All right, so moved by Councilman Best, seconded by Councilman Erby for this purpose. And all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, unanimous. And I get to read it into the... Madam Clerk, could you read it into the record then?
The items on the consent agenda, introduction of ordinance number 14033, amending Palmer Municipal Code Section 4.20.010, holidays with pay, and enacting Section 4.20.012, 4.20.014, 4.20.016, and 4.20.018 to further clarify paid holidays. Introduction of ordinance number 14034, amending Palmer Municipal Code Section 4.15.020 selection. Action memorandum 14-062, City Council statement of non-objection to liquor license number 1436. For Pizzeria Delphi Restaurant and approval of the restaurant designation permit located at 103 West Arctic Avenue, Palmer. And action memorandum 14-063 authorizes the city manager to issue back pay for certain employees for the 4th of July and Labor Day holidays.
I see I chose wisely. All right, that brings us to, we don't have any communication and appearance requests. I believe they were all done at once, but we could do that separately. Did we have any issue with the minutes? Okay. I was probably supposed to read that before we voted on it, but sorry about that. Okay, so there's no communications. So on to reports. City manager, if you could please.
So for your review at a later time, 6 pages of the, because this represents a whole month, are the reports of what's happened over the last month that I've been involved in, and I'll also do it by electronic. But basically what it is to summarize 6 pages, there's been a lot of activity with the borough on some number of planning issues, particularly on transportation. So you're going to start seeing that come to you fairly soon. We met with the Department of Transportation, brought up some of the issues, the concern that they have, and they've agreed, and we're just going to schedule them for a time with you in the next month. Try to fit that in with the budget so they can talk about the progress of the Glen Highway project, also the Palmer Wasilla, and you'll get a chance to have the project director here to talk about that. In some of the economic development, and one that I would like to point out, that we've had a number of businesses come up. Most of it has been resolved around or has involved the airport, and one of them, we had a meeting with an international firm. It was brought to us by the state, and I was at the special council meeting, so the mayor and Jeff and actually one of our people that's also out here with Scott, accompanied that group at the airport. So that was why she wasn't at one of the special meetings there. So I added into my report, so you have that. We've just had a lot of activity at the airport. There'll be either next meeting or the follow-up meeting, you'll have two leases that come back. One is an extension of a lease, but there is one additional one that's a pretty major development out at the airport that you'll see. And so we're seeing some more of that activity. And then for the first time ever, and if you wish to come, we're going to have the first time where we've invited commercial brokers to come to town. And the hope with this is that on a quarterly basis at each one of our banks, we'll have commercial brokers that come in and look at opportunities in the city to try to bring business here. And in the first meeting, it's to go over the Fred Meyer building, of who might go into the existing facilities and how might commercial brokers basically be paid to bring us businesses. So we're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about the Matt-made property, as here are the property owners and here's some potential developments on there that if they fit within the zoning, how commercial brokers would bring us people. And then the airport. And we have a number of Valley brokers that actually do airport developments, whether at private developments, you know, with homes and residential, but more importantly for us, Merrillfield, Wasilla, and two that actually have been listing our hangars. So there's, some pretty exciting things that I think are happening. And since you're just really getting it tonight and it's so long, you might look at it. And then at the next time we get together, I can answer any questions about that. The next one in your packet, and it would be just if there's any questions and you can answer in detail any of the projects on the construction. But I think some of the biggest things that have occurred since we last met is the shared area developments. And Tom Healy is here to also answer any questions. But the project, very importantly, and we're very pleased that it came in before the school started, so that parents and buses could get to Sherrod in time. And it also includes a couple of streets with paving, which is just continues on with fulfilling council commitments to that area to get their water system going. But it's also about some safety improvements there and getting pavement in the area. And that's described in the packet. And any of the other ones, we're free to, or we can answer any questions. There's a lot of work still being done before the season ends. And a lot of the projects are on here. We'll continue over into the capital improvement project that you're going to start getting with the budget. And then since we're talking about the airport, important that the airport crack ceiling project has been complete. So I can answer any questions about any of those or about anything else.
Does anyone have any questions or clarifications? Councilwoman Combs.
Yes, on the airport crack ceiling, this report is as of August 11th, and it says it was scheduled for completion by August 15th. Did that occur?
It did.
Thank you.
And I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor, there was one more if you want it, that I know that you're interested in what's happening at the fair. Sent out in advance our enforcement, kind of a status of that. John is here. Mr. Owens here if you want to ask any questions about enforcement out there, but also related to the sales tax collection and making the visits. Esther's given me a report today, and just basically to tell you that we've had what we do is we go out in advance of the fair starting, meet with the vendors, give them applications, look for their licenses. And so far, there have been visits that two staff have gone out, and they'll typically go out from 2.5 to 4.5 hours, and they check each of the booth, make sure they have a license, hand out material about licenses and sales tax. And so far, they've during this time, they've checked 380 booths, and then handed out those that didn't have them 88 additional packets about getting your license. To date, and that's as of today, 311 vendors renewed their licenses. And what's also interesting that was successful this year, which then shows up in our, you know, receipts in our budget, is that between the building official and the two finance that have gone on, we've also been able to get people from past years who have not paid for some of their licenses or reporting, and when they basically get invoices for past payments. So this year we collected some 2013 invoices and some non-sufficient check funds. It's small, you know, $55 there, but gone back that before you get this year's license, you have to pay up on the past. And interestingly enough, one vendor that still had an outstanding balance in community development for a development application, she was identified and paid her for basically building improvement fee before she got her license for this year. So we're pleased with that. And we'll have a full report soon with sales tax. And this year, also the fair itself has commissioned an outside company to, like the airport does, to identify the total impact of the fair, the financial, you know, how much money we get in it, how much in direct and indirect jobs, and then how much it's costing us in terms of like police enforcement and extra work with finance.
Councilman Best.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Mr. Manager, in your report, you have a meeting with the Grow Palmer folks and talking about possible expansion to other parts of the city. Could you please expound upon that?
Sure. So when Jan Newman came in and she reported, you know, this year was an expansion over last year, and that's been very successful. And where she's going next is exploring the idea, could the whole concept of Grow Palmer basically get bigger and expand to other areas in the city, such as the right-of-way area for the railroad? Could it, are there places on there that with other volunteers and other people, where she's gotten some positive feedback, could that expand to those open areas? So that's where that's coming from. So I encourage her to keep exploring and then to come back to the council. And after the season's over, like she did last year, she'll say, here's how much we harvested, here's how many sites that we had.
And in your report, it said with new partners, is that what you're talking about with the railroad possibly?
Well, not just railroad, no, with foundations, with looking to private foundations to help fund. Because if you get into other areas, like expanded area, and you need things like basic stuff like water and irrigation pipes and that, then she looks to other people like Rasmussen's Foundation. I mean, just as an example of folks like them or the hospital foundation.
Yes, Councilman Best.
If I may. So when this whole program kicked off, it was put together kind of loosely, a little bit of agreement. I just want to make sure that the city is protected for any liabilities that comes down the road for, and I mentioned this before, that if we start putting fruits and vegetables that start to encourage moose to be coming down into a roadway and somebody hits a moose, you know, we're going to have liabilities with that. So I just want to make sure that whatever agreement that we put out there, that the attorney is going to get the opportunity to take a look at it. We're going to make sure that the city is protected. And I'd like to see, you know, these areas come back to us before it's let out, that the council will get an opportunity to take a look at it.
Yeah. And we will, and that's kind of the purpose of this report, and I think that's what you're after. If I'm in the middle of something or working on it, that you can bring up what your concerns are. So I'll hear that, and Jan will come back to the whole council and do a end of the season report, and then we can address that.
Thank you. Any other questions of the manager?
One more.
Councilman Best.
The meeting with Senator Begich, I don't see in there that we had any discussion with the airport, with the frangible fencing or any of that kind of stuff, kind of put it out there in front of them. I know that we're hoping to be heading down the direction of having it taken care of, but was that discussed with him as well?
It was, but the good news about that, I thought I had sent an email around to council, but just for everyone's kind of edification, the relationship with the FAA just continues to improve. And we, in the last month, we've had a couple of meetings. One was that I wasn't involved with, but John Owen and Jeff met with the FAA, and it's in that council presentation that I put out. And the good news is that the FAA does their planning for capital projects basically, and I'm looking at Scott here, about 2 years in advance. And within that, in their draft budgets or asks that they give out of the region, they have done a couple of things. One is that depending on the results of the airport master plan and, I guess, validation of the kinds of aircraft, which means the kinds of certification our runway is, that they are recommending in the $8 million range for runway preservation and improvement. And in addition to that, a couple years out from that, and they do multiple years, just like we project in multiple years, they're looking at, they are supportive of the FAA funding the frangible fence. Now, there's still a few things we do, and it was actually that a detail or specification of frangible fence has been submitted to them. Generally, they are supportive of that, and they're sending it back up through their process to approve that, which then would be ideally funded. So, yeah, so that's the good news with the FAA meetings. The other part is that they're just encouraging us, and we're taking advantage of that, of having regular meetings with them, of going down to Anchorage and just say, hey, let's talk, and including with the dialogue of the master plan that's going on now.
All right. Councilwoman Combs.
I was just wondering, I noticed that you had a notation here regarding staff visit with Senator Murkowski's staff. I know Senator Murkowski will be in town tomorrow. Do you have anything set up to discuss any more with her or her staff regarding the brownfield or wastewater plant compliance orders or anything about aviation?
Both Senator Murkowski's staff and Senator Begich's staff both have staff members that are assigned to EPA. Both of them have said, we'll help you with this. The next step for us, and you'll see in there, there's like three references to EPA with staff. So we've met with Begich and Murkowski, talked about and what the issue is, just so when you start talking about, because can't write everything, but the issue about brownfield is anything else to still do with the mat-made property. And then going a long way back, we still remain on a brownfield list for some properties in and near the airport. And so we've asked Murkowski staff and Begich, would you help us with that as we try to get those cleaned up? They said yes. We have met with the state, also has out of Fairbanks a brownfield team They have met with us, and they're interested within the next week of meeting with us again to see how we might lay out a strategy for cleaning up the areas.
Your Honor, I have a question.
Councilman Hanson.
I'd like to go to the August 12th meeting, and we have a regular meeting twice a month, and we had to cancel the August 12th meeting. Can we talk about why we're canceling regular meetings?
Well, we didn't have everything that we needed to give you a meeting that would have been, you know, a good use of your time. I mean, it was a lot of stuff that was still to be done that, like you see, even on tonight. That's the reason. And, you know, part of that is, you know, always, you know, with time management and things and trying to get everything done, but just didn't have all the stuff they needed to get done by then.
Anything else? Okay. Clerk's report.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. The week of September 8th, the city's registered voters will be receiving in the mail an election brochure from the city. And it has, Mr. Gaddy has reviewed it, and it has to do with, well, everything on our ballot, along with how to vote, where to go to vote, and lots of voter information. I have talked to the deputy borough clerk and the deputy clerk. In future years, we're going to try to combine our brochures. Again, I guess they used to do it several years ago, but we're going to work on getting a combined brochure from here on out. You saw in your boxes the AML information. It's already coming up. So if you'd like to attend the AML conference in November, please let me know, and I will make those arrangements. And that's all I have this evening.
Is there any questions of the clerk? No? Okay. The attorney's report.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, thank you very much. A couple of things. First of all, I think the clerk did a very good job on her election brochure. We looked at that, but usually in my experience, somebody complains about it. So no matter how well it's prepared, somebody will complain. Secondly, there was a question that came up the last meeting related to the city seal and its usage. And that was an interesting project to undertake, and review of that disclosed some interesting information. The starting point was that people were thinking the city seal was a registered trademark. We researched that. The clerk helped look for that. We couldn't locate the background information on that, but I believe, and this is speculative to some degree, it's been more than 10 years since the seal was trademarked. So the next step was looking at Alaska cases, and there's one Alaska case dealing with the use of the state seal. And that was a criminal case, misdemeanor usage of the seal by a gentleman with apparently good intentions who was interested in marketing products on some sort of home shopping network. I don't know much about those things, but apparently this was not appropriate. And the state took action, and the case went up to the Alaska Court of Appeals and was upheld based upon a state statute requiring permission for use of the state seal prior to its application outside of the context of the community. There's also a Pennsylvania case that's directly contrary to that Alaska case, so there's sort of a split in the jurisdictions, at least on the state level. So the clerk and I discussed, okay, what's the next step? So we decided, well, we'll look into trademarking the seal. And based on that research, it was discovered that the city of Houston, Texas, tried to trademark their city of seal, and it was rejected by the Patent and Trademark Office. And they're taking the position that government seals like copyright are, you can't copyright government material, and you can't register the government seal as a trademark. So that's what you're looking at. So the use of the seal is out there. Now, There is a possible remedy for that, and that's a statute that's in the state statutes, and the city could adopt an ordinance requiring someone who wanted to use the city seal to come forward and request permission. Now, there's probably some nuts and bolts as to how that works. If you were intent on pursuing that option, that's, of course, totally discretionary with the council and the mayor as to how they wish to proceed. But there's also some practical considerations if you were to do that. For example, who's going to make the determination on the usage of the city seal? That's a question for you guys, be the manager or department, city clerk, who would do that. So that's my report on that. And it was interesting to discover some of that information. And if anyone has any questions, I'll be happy to try to answer them. Thank you.
Is there any questions? Yes, Councilman Irby.
What would be the procedure if, say, we found an individual who was using the city seal in a, say, a derogatory manner? That, you know, I mean, what would our options be?
Well, I hesitate to predict what certain action might be taken, but depending on the context, we might send a starchy letter to them indicating stop doing that. Now, whether there'd be some legal compulsion underlying that starchy letter, I think I'd have to submit to you. I'd need to do a little bit more research. But right now, without some ordinance outlining the opportunity for someone to seek permission to use the seal, I think it's sort of out there.
Councilwoman Combs.
Now, if I get this right, you did some research, and it might be a little fuzzy, although it's not to some of us, that there was, in fact, a trademark action taken over 10 years ago. It was obviously important to those who were on sitting at this table at that time to do so. Some of you are still here. You probably remember your reasoning. What I guess I don't understand is why that situation has changed, why it isn't still, if it was important enough to protect then, why is it not important enough to protect at this time? And are you telling me that in the meantime, it's evaporated, that sort of protection's evaporated?
Madam Clerk.
Thank you. The item that was trademarked was the city's logo, Alaska at its best. The seal was not trademarked. And because the trademark only lasted 10 years, that was the original time frame, it was brought into the seal and codified so that we would no longer need the trademark. Unbeknownst to, you know, now where we are now, we didn't know we couldn't trademark a city seal at that morning time. And that's where we are with that. But the logo was trademarked, not the city seal at the time.
Follow up.
Yes.
Does that mean that we don't have the protection for the logo? I was not on the council, but I do remember the discussions about that it was important to protect that logo. And I can understand the reasoning was if we incorporate it in the seal, it's protected. And now we're finding out it's not. I guess I just want to make sure. Is it? Isn't it? If it's not, then we can certainly take steps to do something about it, I would hope.
The thank you. The trademark has run out on the logo itself. So we can re-trademark the logo. The thought was that we wouldn't need to once it came into the seal, but now we know that's not true.
Mr. Attorney.
Mr. Deputy Mayor, thank you. Well, one option is the ordinance that parallel the state that requires permission for the seal. The logo is obviously a different question. But the evolution of the law results in different approaches. And when I was looking into this, there's a lot of trade organizations that don't like trademarks because they want to be able to use them for various purposes. And there's legal thinking that government seals and government materials shouldn't be limited because they're purchased with or developed with public money, and basically they're the public's. Now, the clerk and I can get together and develop a strategy for going forward on this, if that's what you would like to do. And one of the things we can do is submit the materials to the trademark office and see what they do. But the clerk is right, it's expired at this point, and not only the seal, I guess, was never trademarked, but the logo, Alaska at its best, has expired, so we can try to accomplish that if that's what you'd like to do.
Councilwoman Combs.
Just to follow that up, if I remember right, the reasoning there was that at the time there was at least three, if not four, conflicting logos, either on signs just as you approach the community or out there in some respect. And some of the reasoning was that that was confusing for Palmer, and let's you know, pick the absolute best one and then protect it to make sure that it wasn't used elsewhere. When you go to market your community, you know, when your businesses go to market it, et cetera, you know, you want that, and you want them to be protected. You don't want somebody else to pop up, you know, 500 miles away using the same thing. So I could dig around in my memory here a little bit. I can remember two or three of them, and it was just considered that this was the absolute best. So I personally would like to see it protected. I know it's been used a great deal. I've used it a great deal. I know a lot of businesses that have used it a great deal over the last dozen years or so. Thank you.
Councilman Best.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. So in the city municipal code 110.010, city seal, it says the design set forth in this section is adopted as the seal of the city. The seal of the city shall be kept by the city clerk and be affixed to all documents required to be so authenticated. Now, since we are a home rule municipality, to me, this is stating that only documents that are authenticated shall have this logo or seal. Now, I know that this was originally constructed under the impression of the embossed seal itself, but in the way that this reads today in electronic reality that we live in today, the design set forth in this section is adopted as the seal of the city. So to me, that is the seal, not necessarily the embossed version of that image. And to me, by this stating that it will be affixed to all documents required to be authenticated, that would be, anytime you see that, it's the city of Palmer. And so I would like to have this brought before us for a discussion as to potential usage, that the city council would have a discussion of how this is to be utilized, and or at least by the employees or entities representing the city. And I would love to have that discussion, because me making coffee mugs with this logo on there and selling them doesn't represent the city. If I was to create a business, City of Palmer Dirt Works, and have that logo on the side, roll up to people's properties and saying, you're required to have some dirt removed or have some sort of property modification, they might have the impression that the City of Palmer is mandated that they have some work done. And these are worst case scenarios, but we need to protect this logo, this image, this seal.
Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Yes, Mr. Attorney.
Certainly happy to do that. I think that if that's the wish of the council, then an ordinance similar to the state ordinance requiring permission to use the seal would be the focus of Alaska law. And there's an Alaska Court of Appeals case directly on point, and that would be the option that we could present to you in the short term. Now, whether there's other opportunities or go to the trademark office and deal with them, well, that's one other thing. But it looks like they've taken the position that government copyright and trademark is not available.
Councilwoman DeFreeze.
Thank you. In your report, the city attorney was, you said you didn't know exactly, you know, like who would give permission and stuff like this. But if you follow this, it says it should be kept by the city clerk. So it would seem like to me she would be the entry point for people either applying and or getting permission to use the city seal. And then if there was some kind of gray area or something like that, she would be able to bring it forth to the council and have the council rule or something. So I will support what Councilman Best requested. And maybe just looking at it that way, it would seem like to follow the what we have right now on the in the code. So thank you.
So is there any opposition to directing the attorney and the clerk to work on that? Yes, Madam Clerk.
I'd just like to clarify that it would be a future agenda item coming to you in an ordinance format addressing the use of the city seal as was discussed, but it will be in an ordinance format. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Is there any other questions for the attorney? Councilman Best.
Mr. Attorney, this originally had come to you because of a potential ethics situation. We also have a situation where a city event, an event sponsored by the city and the Chamber of Commerce was utilized to record a commercial for an election. And the items that were being handed out, the awards, was also recorded in this commercial. And there was, I myself, when we were asked to come forward during the presentation, I did not go out there because I knew that there was a commercial being recorded. And I believe, in my opinion, that the city of Palmer actually, as the city of Palmer, because we were sponsoring the event, kind of participated in a political commercial. And I don't know if that's an APOC situation. Does the city of Palmer need to let APOC know that we participated? And is there some monetary amount that we need to show that we have participated in? So I think this brings closer to a head the fact that we need to have the discussion of ethics at this council. What we as a body will allow to be done or not be done when it comes to running for political office. I also would like to have council support in having a discussion as to council members, including the mayor, seeking higher political office, and whether or not I'd like to have the discussion at this body whether or not we should change, put something out to the voters to possibly change our charter and or change our code to have them, anybody that's seeking a higher office, to step down or to suspend their seat for a while. Or I'd just like to have the conversation out there.
Any other thoughts from council members on that?
So do I need to ask for council support?
Yes.
I'll support for the discussion purposes. And I guess I wouldn't restrict it just to higher office. It would restrict it to any, you know, even council people running for re-election if they're sitting in the position. So it's just, you know, I don't think I would restrict it just to higher office regarding having the discussion about, you know, what can you do? You know, can you have your picture taken in front of City Hall and use that? I don't know if anybody's done that, or you can have your picture taken, you know, in the city council chambers, or, you know, in the new fire truck. You had that. Your picture taken today.
Put it on Facebook.
Yeah. So, Madam Clerk.
I'd be interested in the stepping down part, the elected.
Yeah, right.
That's one of the things. Step down from city council so you can run for city council. Yeah, but, yeah. Madam Clerk.
Oh, are we done with the attorney?
I just wanted to. May I just clarify?
Yes.
All right, from what I understand, the request from Councilmember Best was concerning a city's participation of political, commercial, and I'm sure the attorney will address that, ethics discussion needed, and there is an ordinance that has been written and been requested by Councilmember DeBreeze and another councilmember that I don't remember right now, and we have talked about putting it on a future agenda, not as introduction, but as more of a work session type atmosphere to go over it, so that will be on, and just have to get the date. And then also concerning council members seeking political office, possible charter amendment, code amendment for members to step down during the election period. That's what I have so far.
Okay, Mr. Attorney, I think you were mentioned in there.
Yeah, well, interesting questions. We'll see how they shake out. They do, I suspect, have some constitutional implications. So anyway, we'll look into those things.
Okay, Councilman Best.
For the record, could I have the attorney restate what the council's finding was when we had a discussion of the mayor's limitation pertaining to mat-made development and or purchase?
Mr. Deputy Mayor?
Yes, sir.
I don't recall specifically. I know that there was a second attorney opinion from Attorney Joe Evans, a well-respected municipal attorney, related to that. But the conclusion was, generally, I don't have the opinion in front of me, so I could stand corrected. Oh, okay. I haven't read it recently. But basically that there was an actual or potential conflict of interest due to the mayor's business involvement with properties nearby the mat-made, and I think Mr. Evans confirmed that with some other distinctions that he brought forward.
Okay.
Just a point of clarification on that.
Yes, Councilman Best.
And based on our city code, once the council rules, that is the opinion that carries. So if the council ruled that the mayor had a conflict of interest, that is the opinion that carries, correct?
Well, I think to get bogged down in the procedural aspects of conflicts of interest isn't the most productive approach to take. To me, if there's an actual or potential conflict, it should be presented and acted upon appropriately. And it's my opinion that the council acted properly on that. And the council ruled on it and said there was a conflict, and that was my opinion, and that was the opinion of a second lawyer.
Okay, timing on the ethics ordinance work session. Thank you. Councilman Best, you have a suggestion?
September 23rd. Special meeting?
At 6 p.m.
6 p.m.
September 23rd. Okay, right before a regular meeting? Okay. Is there any objection or clarification on that from the council?
I doubt if we can do it in an hour, but we will make the first baby steps.
I agree.
Yes, this seemed somewhat optimistic.
Yes.
All right, Madam Clerk, did we clarify everything that needed clarification?
Thank you. Yes. Thank
okay.
You.
All right. I get to read it. I just got these bifocals. I guess it's kind of a mayor's report. We just got some information from Mr. Owens about dispatch called, a man pulled a gun out and accidentally shot himself at the fair just now. He's being air flighted out, and no further information at this point. Just
so you know.
At the fair. So in the city limits, yeah. Okay. So, with no further questions on that, we'll go to audience participation. Audience participation is a time to address the council on any matter for up to 3 minutes if you're representing yourself, or 5 minutes if you're representing a group. And audience participation is now open. Mr. Owens.
I'm John Owen. Just wanted to give you a brief update. I just ran to the station. It turns out that a gentleman and his wife were parking the car. The man got out of the right door. He was taking his gun out of his waistband in order to put it in the door pocket, and apparently his finger hung up in the trigger, causing a round to go off into his thigh. There was no sign of an arterial bleed. However, he was life-flighted out. And I wanted you guys to know about it because the media is already calling me.
Yeah. Thank you.
Ouch.
Anyone else want to come address the council? Okay. We'll close audience participation. There's no public hearings at this time. So, action memorandum. Is there a motion to authorize action memorandum 14-057?
So moved.
Can you read the title into the record?
Okay. I'm sorry. Who moved that? Okay. Councilwoman Combs moved it. Seconded by Councilman Best. For action memorandum 14-057, to authorize the city manager to negotiate and execute a purchase two trucks with service bodies for facilities maintenance and the wastewater treatment use for a total of $67,712 under a joint purchasing agreement. All right, is there any discussion, questions? Okay, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So that's unanimous. All right, is there a motion to authorize action memorandum 14-059?
So moved.
Second. So moved by Councilman Best, seconded by Councilman Irby, to authorize action memorandum 14-059. Authorize the city manager to negotiate and enter into a contract with Bering Marine Corporation for the purchase and delivery of road salt in the amount of $23,707.50. Is there any questions or discussion?
Yeah, I have a question.
Councilman Hansen.
You know, I know we've done this a long times and many, many hundreds of times, but number one is there's, let's see, page 83. I just threw it away. There's no count on there, okay? And I think I looked it up. It's 0117-6066, which isn't the important part of this. There's $35,000 budgeted in that account. And I'm wondering why we don't automatically, when we get our bid for that, why don't we automatically do a budget adjustment right there so that amount is done? As you all know, department heads and managers have great discretion to spend money in a general budget category on any items. And I think that once we determine that this is under budget, it should be an item that is cleaned and done with for the year, as opposed to having $11,000 available for other things and other items. So why we don't automatically zero out that account at that point.
Mr. Manager.
So it's kind of a theoretical thing. So when you have a budget, I think as you know, you've got the total amount, and if you do a budget adjustment, then that's a regular process. It's not done administratively. You can move amounts within an item if that's what you're talking about. But I think if you have 35,000 or any amount. If you have, say you have 35,000 and you spend 23, then you just, you carry that forward at the end of the year. Are you, is what you're concerned about is that there still remains 12,000 and so you'd like to see that reappropriated? Is that your question?
Reappropriated to the general fund.
Well,
well, just so you guys can talk.
Okay. I think that if you did it on one item, then you do it on multiple, and I don't know that you want to have budget adjustments every single meeting. You know, annually, sure, or quarter, you know, every 6 months if you want to do it, sure.
But budget item 6066 is specifically for road salt. That's what it says. Road salt.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's, this is our only purchase of road salt for the year.
Okay.
And it came under $12,000 under budget or $11,000 under budget.
Right.
So I think it's appropriate when that's, it's only one line item. It's not a light bulb budget where you're going to buy, have multiple purchases of light bulbs through the years or more importantly, a pen budget where we nearly run out all the time. But so it would be appropriate to have a budget adjustment for the one-time purchase as it comes in my opinion.
Okay.
Well, that's something to consider, and maybe we'll discuss it budget time.
At the budget coming up, sure.
All right. Any other questions or concerns? Although, okay, all those in favor of Action Memorandum 14-059, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that's unanimous. So there's a motion to authorize Action Memorandum 14-060.
Second.
So moved by Councilman Best, seconded by Councilwoman Combs for Action Memorandum 14-060, authorize the city manager to execute change order number 4 for shared area water and street improvements phase 2 with Dirtworks Inc. for additional storm drain replacement costs in the amount of $21,750.13.
Your Honor?
Yes, ma'am. Councilwoman DeFreeze.
Since this is a change order, which would, you know, has to do with the contract, I don't see the approval of the city attorney on there. Has he had a chance to review this? And I don't see his initials. Maybe it just hasn't been. We're on page 85 of 132.
Page 85. Sure, let's take a brief at ease. Are those arm signals? Okay. So our almost brief at ease is now over.
I open that door.
So, Mr. Attorney, do you have any comments, concerns about Action Memorandum 14-060?
Yes, and Mr. Deputy Mayor, thank you, members of the council. And taking another look at this, I think one of the reasons that the clerk and I didn't sign this was we felt there the AM could have had a little more explanation with respect to the project and things like that. That's within the discretion of the manager and the city council on how they want to proceed. But that was the concern there.
Okay, are we ready to proceed, or Councilwoman Freeze?
Well, I'm not going to vote no against this, but I would appreciate any action memorandums having all the signatures at the top before they would come to me in the future for the council, no matter how big or small.
Councilman Best?
I'll agree. It sounds to me like a coordination issue, and so in the future, it should not hit the table until all appropriate signatures are available.
Councilman Hanson.
Yeah, but so I'm a little unclear here. So it says approved for presentation, okay? If somebody doesn't believe in the presentation and doesn't believe in the information is complete, then he or she should still sign it then?
No.
What should they do then? I'm hearing it should be signed.
I was stating that it shouldn't get to our table until there's a coordination and there's an agreement of that what is...
Councilwoman DeFreeze?
That's
okay. Right. Okay.
Councilmember, yes, I'm going to finish.
Okay.
Yeah, I just feel that if it's going to come before the council, that we should have those three elected, our hired employees by the council should be in agreement regarding it. And if they don't, then I think something needs to be placed on the table regarding the fact, because to me, it's my protection that I'm trusting that what comes before me is legal, it's, you know, fits in the budget, it's, you know, jumped through all of the hoops. And so that's the standard that I will be judging things that come before me.
Mr. Manager?
Well, I'll say that probably the biggest one in the coordination, probably my issue on this, and so I'll make sure that we have better description. Sometimes what happens is that when, and particularly this one is a good example of it, that whether we do it tonight, and we do not have to do it tonight, but at a budget, I had an additional amendment put in here, and I think it's worth you looking at, that the amount of money was minor, the kind of change was minor, so I didn't really see it was as a big significant issue. What my biggest issue with this, or what we're trying to do, and you wouldn't normally have this, is that if you look on the sheet that has all of the grants there, one of the things that I found as we started getting into this was, which grants do we have on the Shared Project? And we go through multiple years. How much money do we have left over? So between Public Works Director and Finance and myself, we spent a lot of time saying, what money is left over do we have? And that was my big focus. The change order, I thought, was minor. But because we took, and I took so long to get the second chart done, I didn't loop back to the city clerk and city attorney. So that's on me, and I'll make sure that before the clerk, rightfully so, it's got time frames on it, and I was not concentrating on the language about justification. I thought it was minor, but the money and what we have left over, and particularly how much do we have left over to spend on roads, was where my focus was. So I hear that, and I'll make sure that we get the signatures, and then if we don't do that, then we'll pull it off or hold it up to the next time. But my evaluation of this project, the Dirt Works project, is appropriate. It's minor relative to the whole project, and we have sufficient funds in it.
Councilman Best?
I know we as a body don't like to be pushed into a corner and have to make decisions. Will this impact the project if we put this off approving for the next meeting?
No, but I think I can answer any, or Tom, he can answer any question, that if you're feeling that the justification on the on the second page doesn't answer the questions you have, I absolutely accept that we need to have the signatures, but I don't think that the explanation that there's going to be a lot more explanation of what was needed for this project, and there is funding in this the monies that we have that's adequate for that. But I think we can answer, if you want, between Tom and I can answer any questions you might have related to that. The part of not signature, that's on me. We'll make sure that you don't get it unless you have both signatures from now on. So I'd encourage you to approve it tonight. with the clear understanding that I'm not to give you anything unless it has all three signatures.
Okay. Is there anything else? Okay. So all those in favor of Action Memorandum 14-060, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Are there any opposed?
Nay.
So the vote is 5-1. And passes. All right, there's no unfinished business. New business. Is there a motion to adopt resolution number 14-025?
So moved.
Second. So moved by Councilwoman Combs and seconded by Councilwoman DeVries. To adopt resolution number 14-025, accepting and appropriating a grant from the Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, through the Staffing for Adequate Fire and Emergency Response, or SAFER program, in the amount of $49,766 to fund one full-time firefighter position to be job shared by two employees for Palmer Fire and Rescue for year number three, IM 14-032. Is there any questions or discussion? Okay, all those in... Is there a question there? Okay. All those in favor? Yes. Councilman Hanson.
I'm going to ask it. You know, I read this, and I know the year is on there, but why isn't the year in the title... I read it in here, what year this is the appropriation for. I can't seem to find it now because, you know, the most important, one of the most important, it's a great program for us currently, but one of the most important thing is that this funds dry up in the after the third year, and this appropriations is for the third year. The money is funded, or the positions are funded exclusively by grants. So if we don't come up with general fund money in some way, these two positions go away. So I think it's important in the subject matter that what is year three, you know? So that's my only comment.
Well, maybe we can have the manager give us a quick overview on what the plan is after year three.
If you look to the memo on page 97, that's where you see the year that takes it out to 2017. And this one, you will have time. You'll have two budgets where you consider if you want to extend this beyond. Now, remember, there's a little bit different between the fiscal year for us and the federal government. But you're going to have two budgets to say, hey, do I want, once these expire, do you want to continue to put money towards the program?
Okay. Is there any more question? Any comment? Okay. All those in favor of resolution number 14-025, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that's unanimous and passes. Committee of the whole, is there a motion? Is there a motion to move? That sounds right.
Second.
So moved by Councilwoman Combs and seconded by Councilman Irby to move into a committee as a whole to discuss the city's financial statements. All right, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, so we are in the committee as a whole.
And Mr. Deputy Mayor, may I ask that our finance director and controller come up to the center so we can have this answer any questions for the council? May we do that?
Welcome, ladies. Yes, sir.
Latest financial statement, we're here to answer those questions the best we can.
Apparently the financial statements are amazing. Is there any questions? Mr. Hanson.
I have a question. Okay, so a number of years ago, the city of Palmer
took over the investment of our funds, okay, and our funds have gone down significantly since that time. However, it appears that we still have $2.2 million that's being invested for, you know, an annual yield of $27,444. Okay, so my question is, does the finance department feel like this is an adequate return, number one, feel like, number two, that they have the sufficient capabilities of to be able to manage this amount of money? Our previous, a previous finance director felt it was our in our interest to do this. Do you still feel the same way?
The investments that we have right now are investments that we had when I came here. So to answer your question, I don't know that I can answer your question. At the present time, the last three CDs we have cashed in. We're in the construction season, and it was in the city's best interest to do that. But as far as further investments, when the time comes that we're ready to invest any of our funds, then at that time we can make a decision what's best for the city. I hope I answered your question.
Mr. Manager?
Can I suggest a couple things that I think at your two things about the money that we have in there. First, what should be obvious is that in the public investment side, we have a fiduciary responsibility to make sure that we protect and the city doesn't go off and be like Orange County and invest in things that are, unsafe. So there's that issue with it. And that should be in a city policy about our investments of what level of, how conservative should we be and what kind of safe. And some of those are actually included in our budget document, and you see them in the financial report. So that's one issue. Many cities have a formal policy that's done by the council, and we have a form of that that could be improved a little bit. We're frustrated at not getting much money off investments. Well, that's probably also the way you are personally, that there are not a lot of things that have the kind of stability and have this, less than 1% return. I think that you will see when we do the budget coming up a couple of things. One of them is that you're going to see us projecting revenues and expenditures out for 5 years. I think that's important. And as part of that, also you're going to see something that's unique to our state and also is very obvious in us is that we have, and it needs to be part of a formal policy, we have some interesting cash flow issues. And right now, we're experiencing it with, we've been blessed by getting a lot of grants from the state, much more than other cities, I think, of our size. And when that happens, like it's happened in the last month and a half, is that we have occasions where we pay out huge we pay the bills for our construction people. There you need to have the maximum ability of cash to pay. And so you don't lock up investments in what you might even do at home of 6 months or a year on a certificate. And that needs to be part of our financial policy. It's reflected in what we're doing in that we've had short-term certificates and then we've cashed them in to pay the bills. And that's pretty unique to us, and that also contributes to you're not seeing very big returns. The final one is part of a policy that should be there is whether we look to when on occasion when we try to when we borrow money from the state bond bank, and that's good, pay for some of our improvements, and the rate we have to pay is very small. A policy very easily could also be that we do inter-fund loans to pay for short-term improvements we want to make, because we're getting such a small and a low return, that should be part of our financial policy that gives us that ability to do that, too.
Mr. Gaddy?
Mr. Deputy Mayor, thank you. The city does have a financial policy in its code, in Palmer Code 3.34, that outlines the appropriate investments.
Councilwoman DeFreeze.
Your Honor, page 103, if I'm interpreting this correctly, there are two places that we are investing where we are getting zero. And I know, you know, I know how low the rates are, but when you go in the first column over here, when you go down to where it says 12/16/2013, there's a TVI, and if I read that all the way across, there's like $15,000 in there. That's a savings, and the yield is zero. Am I interpreting that correctly? We're not getting not even 0.1% on that? And then the same thing, just right two above that, where it has the Alaska USA, the savings, where that says 00 also. Is that just a misprint, or is it like 00009 or something like that? Or so, and you know, if you don't know the answer tonight, that's fine. But to me, that would be two areas. You know, at the time after the construction season's gone, to look at those and at least transfer those maybe into, you know, like at the credit union, you're getting 0.15, First National Bank, there's like 1%, there's some other ones. Seems like we should be able to get at least a little bit there, either negotiate with whoever TBI is, Alaska USA, of course we know who that is. To get something or consider, you know, transferring those funds.
Councilman DeVries, I'm sure that's a misprint. Okay. I'm sure we're getting something. We're probably not getting that much. But the one that is for the TVI, mm-hmm. I can't find it right now, that has the $15,000, that's one of the ones, that's all the money that we have left in that account. But I do apologize. I'm sure that is a misprint. I will get the right information and be sure that's updated for the July statement.
Good, thank you. Can I do a follow-up, sir?
Yes, ma'am.
On the sales tax, page 131, is the reason the June is up so high, is that because that settlement that the attorney
yes.
negotiated for
yes,
us?
Ma'am.
Yeah. One of the things I think that would be interesting for me would be, I see where you have the year to date there, but you don't have like the previous year to date, and you say that month was like 0.15 percentage up from the previous year. But if maybe you could add that line, if that was, and if I have support from other council people regarding that, if you would have a year to date, say for just at least say for the previous year. You see what I'm saying?
I'm sorry.
Okay, on page 131.
We don't have pages, but I did.
Oh, okay, it's the sales tax one, yeah. So what I see there is I see like the 2014 to 2013, which is the year we're in now, and you have it across, and then you have the percentage from the PY, which I would assume is prior year. Or previous year, whichever one. And then you have the year to date, which is the year to date for the current year.
Right.
But I would like to see the year to date, maybe just for the previous year, so we can see, you know, exactly. If yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
We'll make a note of that to direct after we come out of a meeting, committee as a whole.
Thank you. I forgot to direct. Thank you. No.
Yes.
I thought I had 213
in front of
you, but I don't.
I'm sure you have.
I know that you have.
Councilman
Hanson.
Okay, I'd like to follow up.
If you hit the button, you can talk.
I'll talk anyway. Okay. Yeah. So, you know, I understand
what you talked about, and I understand that there is a, we do have a financial policy. My question was that about 10 years ago, the finance director at that time felt that he, in this case, could do a better job managing these funds than a firm that we had contracted. And I think it might even have been a representative from First National Bank. And the fee was nominal for the management of this account. And I understand cash flow, and I understand investments. And so they took into account all these things. My question was, do we as a city now feel like we can adequately manage these funds? I recognize returns are low, okay? And at the time, a couple of us questioned our ability and desire to start managing our own finances in that capacity. And fortunately, at that time, we had a lot more money, but we spent a lot of it. That's a different story. But anyways, so that was my question.
Councilman Hansen, when it comes to investments, I only make recommendations. And if the council so wanted to have a company make those decisions, I have no problem with that. But with the interest rates as they have been since, I believe, 2008, every time we go out for an investment, at least this is what I've done in the past, I look and see what the market has, and the market has not been great. You might make a little bit, but you're not going to make a whole lot. But as far as the investments are concerned, I think that is a decision that has to be more than just one person. And if the council wants a company to do that, I don't have a problem with that.
Anything else?
No.
Well, Mr. Manager.
Well, we can get a quote from somebody to give it, and we can do that. The amounts are so small. But, yeah, we can get somebody to tell us, hey, we believe we can get you, you know, 25, you know, maybe one point higher on it, and then they can tell us for how much. We can do that. That's not a problem. To get quotes. People will give us quotes all the time. This kind. We can do that. We can do that as part of the budget process coming up.
Gentleman Best.
I don't want to put words in Councilman Hansen's mouth, but I think he was just wanting reassurance that you're comfortable with, that you have the adequate amount of time and knowledge that, you know, you can understand that there might be an opportunity for somebody else to get a tenth of a percent higher, but I mean, does that really work to our benefit versus you having your eyes on our investments, that you're comfortable enough? And I think he was just looking for reassurance that you're comfortable with looking after these funds.
Investments are part of my responsibility, and I don't have a problem with that. And I watch the Dow constantly. I feel comfortable, but I don't ever want the council to feel not comfortable, if I'm making myself clear. Councilman Hansen, are you okay with that comment?
Can I just?
Yes, Councilman Hansen.
Well, first of all, I think when you say you make recommendations, I guess you make recommendations to the city manager, and then you accept it. But somebody has to manage the account, right? I mean, so that has to happen. And Councilman Best is right. I want you to feel comfortable. I want you to feel energized. I want you to feel all of those things. You know, because it's a nominal amount of money to manage this account. It's getting more nominal because our amount is going down. And the returns aren't that great. I do know we used to get a larger return. You know, so I'm comfortable either way. We're not going to make a bunch of money with our limited investment opportunities. But I also think that time could be spent maybe in better and more profitable areas.
So So you gave, I gave you an answer, but you gave me a free.
As your finance director, you have hired me to take on part of that as my responsibility. And I do take that responsibility very seriously. And I hope that you feel comfortable in that now.
I'm energized.
And I am energized every time I come to work. I love to make money. I love money. I love to take care of money. That's why I like being a finance director.
Councilwoman DeFreeze.
Okay. On page 132, where it talks about the City of Palmer legal fees, can someone tell me if the $33,479.26 that we received in insurance reimbursements have been deducted from the expenses that we have to date, or is the $78,608 a net figure, or is that the total that we have expended? Thank you.
Councilman DeBries, the $33,479.26 is revenue. It's called insurance reimbursement revenue. The amount that we have as legal fees is an expense. So it's not netted. They're two separate figures. Last page.
Yeah.
I'd like to go back to page one.
Not tonight. All right. If we're comfortable, we can come out of a committee of as a whole. And was there, what, one or two notes that the clerk has here?
I do. I have one note and then one question. Regarding one note was the request by Councilmember DeVries, year-to-date for previous year sales tax revenues on the next report. And then there was discussion, but I don't think it was actual direction, regarding an investment firm. So there is direction by Councilmember DeVries, and then there would need to be support.
Okay. Your Honor, also, I would like to hear back from the finance director whether there were two errors. The errors were the 0.00 return yield, I guess it is. If I could add that, and then I'll just ask council support for all of those items.
Okay. Councilwoman Combs.
I'll support the two issues that Councilmember DeVries stated, and that's all that I heard that needs any kind of support.
Thank you.
Okay, I think we're good. Okay, record of the items placed on the table, Madam Clerk.
The City Manager's Report and the Alaska State Fair Parade Information.
All right, audience participation. One last time, there goes the audience. For anyone to come before us and speak. Okay. Seeing hardly anyone in the room and no one coming forward. Audience participation's over. Councilman comments. Start with Mr. Irby. There we go. Councilman Best.
Thank you. We are rolling up on the I think it's 1 year since we have gone into the smoke-free Palmer, and I would like to bring to the attention, I've brought it to the attention of others before, that the second year, in which it would allow us to manipulate, modify, adjust, or repeal at the council level if we wanted to. That's not where I'm going with this. The borough has had a smoking stand with multiple sides, in my opinion, in direct contrast to the way that the law is written. The way that the law is written, it states that no structure that is open to the public that has two or more sides, and this is a four-sided structure, and it talks about that it didn't matter if it was glass or any of that kind of stuff, that it had could not have more than two sides and open to the public. So that's been in clear violation of that law So I'd like to have a report back to council as to the remedy for that, if it is truly non-conforming to the ordinance, and what's our path forward on that. And I guess I would need support on that.
Yeah.
I'll support.
Councilman DeFries supports. Okay. Anything else, Councilman Best?
It is fair time again. There are many vehicles parked illegally. PD has been very responsive on taking care of several of those instances. But in some of the neighborhoods, we have instances where individuals are parking motorhomes on city streets for multiple days, even on streets that are like dead-ended. That can't be allowed. Because then the next neighbor down the road wants to know why they can't put theirs on if the other guy at the end is doing it. And some of these situations, they're actually pushing, so they get talked to about parking on the road, so then they push into the property, and it's actually somebody else's piece of property. Now, in this instance, it's a property that is technically outside city limits. So Palmer PD can't really do much, but we have a situation where neighbors are being encroached upon by people acting poorly. I would like to see a coordination of borough, city, state troopers, whoever it's going to take. I've had these people that are outside of the city limits come and talk to me, and they say that, you know, they feel that there's nothing they can do because it's kind of a gray area. So it's unfortunate.
Okay.
Two items. First of all,
yes.
Oh, I'm up?
Yeah.
Okay. So my wife said that she saw Richard down there directing traffic, which I think is very admirable and dangerous. So I'm glad that you're assisting. My next one is a little less pleasant. So the August 12th meeting, I just want to talk about this, okay? It's of my opinion that we as a city council, you as the staff, have two responsibilities a month for the public to have a meeting with us, okay? And so for us not to get our information together and forth is unacceptable to me. We have to have two scheduled regular meetings a month. And those are darn important, and they have to be adhered to. So whatever we're doing, and it looks like we're doing quite a bit, my number one important ones are two public meetings a month. So if it means that we have to scrimp in some other areas, that's just the way it is. So I just wanted to make it clear my dissatisfaction with that August 12th meeting being canceled.
Councilwoman DeFries.
Thank you, Your Honor. I agree. I think regular meetings are very important, and we, you know, it has to be extreme circumstances to have them canceled. The borough is, of course, tinkering with senior citizens tax exemption again, and also vehicle tax, if I remember correctly. And so I just want to be sure that we are aware of that and are watching that election closely, so we don't get caught like we did this last year, where we were not prepared and we had not taken care of our citizens in the appropriate way.
Councilwoman Combs.
You wouldn't think that 3 weeks would be such a long time. It seems like there's been so much going on in the last 3 weeks. So I'll try to keep it fairly short. In the past month, I've had the wonderful opportunity, in my opinion, to be able to sit and see the same presentation from our city manager. It's been long enough now, it's hard for me to call him the new city manager. You've all received electronically at least the presentation that he made last week to the chamber, which is the same one that he made to the Rotary Club and essentially to the Board of Economic Development for the City of Palmer. I have been contacted many times, several times, talked to several individuals from businesses and other walks here in the community that have had the opportunity to hear this particular presentation and or read it, and it's been overwhelmingly positive. And I think that's really important for you to hear. It tickles me, of course, to death. So it was extremely well done, and I really appreciate having someone else doing the rah-rah part. No, you know, everybody's used to me every week at Chamber jumping up essentially and saying there's always something great happening in Palmer. I believe it. And Mr. Hannon has backed me up with gorgeous pictured things and a lot of facts. So I appreciate that. And speaking of that, again, there's just been great things going on over the last few weeks in Palmer, as there always is. But the parade, I felt Saturday, was very, very well done. And cannot thank all of the partners in it enough, mostly the volunteers. There's just, as always, I say this frequently, that we're just a community that has generous hearts and willing hands. And it's never more apparent than when we have something like that parade, which pretty much went off without a hitch. Of course, perfect weather didn't hurt at all. So other than that, I do support what Councilmember DeVries said. I think we have to keep an eye on and make sure that we're up to date, however it takes, on the tax situation and the changes that the Assembly is proposing, make sure that we don't get caught up short and that we're at least aware of it. I think each one of us individually should, you know, make it a point to make sure that if someone asks you about it, that you're able to answer the questions. And that's it.
Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Councilman Best, did we skip a little too fast?
Sorry. It was just a comment back to Brad on the directing traffic. It was for the fair parade, not actually at the fair itself. But I'd like to thank all the city employees that participated in the fair parade. I think they actually are the frosting on the cake. All the effort that they do, all the local community members, from the Chamber of Commerce to local businesses, the Radio Free Palmer was out there. Appreciate everybody pitching in. I think it was a true community effort. Special thanks to Commander Ketterling, and I was out there helping stack chairs with Tom Healy, Director Healy, after the event, helping clean up and everything like that. I just appreciate everybody that was out there. And the manager was out there as well, participating in the parade himself. So it was wonderful.
Yes, and concerning things with the borough, I think it's always wise to keep an eye on the borough, particularly about taxes. But and as far as the skipped meeting, we've had enough special meetings that we really need to keep our regular meetings to be happening on a regular basis and shift away from special meetings if it's possible. Okay, then we are going to go into executive session. Is there a motion to move into executive session to discuss pending litigation matters, the immediate knowledge of which would clearly have an adverse effect upon the finances of the city concerning Beeson versus City of Palmer?
Second.
So moved by Councilman Hansen, seconded by Councilwoman Combs. And for the record, who are we going to have in there? We're going to have the clerk and the manager sit in with us as well?
Mr. Owens
and Mr. Healy.
Mayor, we can give them a call.
Okay. And maybe we'll take like a 5-minute break before starting. All right. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. 5 minutes enough time, Mike?